All right, so today we're diving into a cold case
Okay.
that's pretty notorious here in North Carolina.
Yeah.
The Valentine's Day murders.
Right.
And I think if you're from around here and you remember February 1971, these names, Patricia Mann and Jesse McBain, are going to send chills down your spine.
They are. It's one of those cases that just sticks with you. I mean, you have this young couple just starting their lives, so much potential, and then just this sudden, inexplicable violence. It's a real stark reminder of just how fragile life can be.
And it's a reminder of just how long
Yeah.
the pain from these unsolved mysteries can linger.
Absolutely.
So let's set the scene here.
Okay.
We're in Durham. It's February 12th, 1971, Valentine's Day.
Right.
And there's a dance happening at Watts Hospital. And at this dance is Patricia Mann.
Okay.
She's 20 years old, a nursing student at Watts. And from everything we know, just a bright, compassionate young woman.
Yeah.
She's there with her boyfriend, Jesse McBain, who's just 19, a freshman at NC State. And he's described as being, quiet and dedicated to his studies. A typical young couple out to celebrate Valentine's Day.
Right. And they were out enjoying their Friday night date. Everything seemed normal.
Totally normal.
Just a regular night out.
Exactly. No indication that anything was amiss.
No, not at all.
So they leave the dance around 11:30 p.m.
Okay.
And their plan's pretty simple. Patricia's going to head back to her dorm at Watts.
Right.
Jesse's going to head back to his dorm in Raleigh. And the last time anybody sees them
Yeah.
is in Jesse's car. It's a light blue 1965 Ford Falcon
Okay.
parked near the hospital.
All right.
Pretty unremarkable end of the evening, which I think makes what happens next even more shocking.
Absolutely. It was just the start of a weekend, Friday night, getting ready for the weekend ahead, and just no sign, no indication that anything like this was going to happen.
And so when Patricia missed her midnight curfew at the nursing dorm, at first I imagined there was just a little concern. Maybe she just stayed out a little late.
Right. Probably thought nothing of it at first.
Exactly. But by the next morning, when there's still no sign of Patricia or Jesse, that concern must just skyrocketed into full-blown panic.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, at that point, it's clear that something's seriously wrong.
So a huge search kicks off right away,
Yeah.
but it's like they just vanished.
Yeah. It really is like they just disappeared into thin air.
And for 13
Yeah.
days, the community is clinging to this hope that they're going to be found safe.
Yeah, you can just imagine the agony that their families, their friends must have been going through.
Everyone's searching for them, law enforcement, everyone. And then on February 25th, that hope is just completely shattered.
It's just devastating.
So a surveyor
Yeah.
who's working near Orange Factory Road, who's about 9 miles northwest of Durham,
Okay.
in a really densely wooded area, stumbles upon this just horrific scene.
Oh my gosh.
Patricia and Jesse's bodies are found tied to a maple tree.
It's hard to even fathom the terror that they must have gone through.
I know, and you think about the details that we know, right?
Yeah.
Patricia was wearing that beautiful long blue formal gown to the dance and that white corsage, and now it's stained, it's torn.
Yeah, it's those details that make it so poignant.
It's just awful.
It turns these symbols of, young love and celebration into something really, really
And it
tragic.
wasn't just, they were tied to the tree. Their hands were tied behind their backs
Right.
with half-inch wide rope. The same rope was tied tightly around their necks.
Yeah.
And the medical examiner determined that the cause of death was strangulation.
It speaks to the brutality of this crime.
It does. And the way they were bound and the positioning, it really does point away from some kind of spontaneous crime of passion.
Yeah, right.
This seems much more calculated and cold-blooded.
Deliberate.
Exactly. And to add to the mystery, Jesse's car is found abandoned in a shopping center, not that far from where their bodies were found.
No.
But there's absolutely no clues inside the car.
Nothing.
No signs of a struggle,
Yeah.
no indication of who else might have been in the vehicle. It just adds another layer to this already incredibly complex and perplexing case.
Right. And I think, that combined with the timing around Valentine's Day, it just sent shockwaves through Durham.
They must have,
This
Diane.
feeling of vulnerability, fear. I mean, it really tarnished a day that was meant for, romance and love.
Absolutely. And so the Durham County Sheriff's Office, under Sheriff Bill O'Malley, launched a full-scale investigation.
Yeah.
But it's 1971.
Right.
Forensic science was nowhere near as advanced as it is today.
It was really in its infancy.
DNA analysis, which is such a crucial tool in investigations now,
Right.
just wasn't available back then. So investigators had to rely on traditional methods, you know, eyewitness accounts, any physical evidence that was visible to the naked eye.
Yeah, fingerprinting techniques were a lot less sophisticated back then.
Right, so you can imagine trying to solve a brutal crime like this without the ability to analyze microscopic evidence.
It must have been incredibly difficult.
Yeah, and to make matters even more challenging, there was no clear motive.
Right.
Robbery didn't seem to be a factor. There was no clear evidence of sexual assault. And Patricia and Jesse didn't have any known enemies, no obvious suspects in their lives. It just felt like a random act of violence.
And that's one of the most challenging things for investigators.
I would imagine.
Because when you don't have a clear motive or a starting point, it's like trying to find a needle in a haystack.
Right, you're just completely in the dark.
Exactly. And so, as you can imagine, weeks turn into months, and with no arrest, the case officially goes cold.
But it didn't really fade from public consciousness, did it?
Not at all. I mean, it remained a topic of conversation. And the media, particularly the Raleigh News and Observer, kept the story alive over the years.
Yeah, people didn't forget Patricia and Jesse.
Oh, right.
And theories started to emerge.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what happens with these unsolved cases. You get all sorts of speculation.
Right. Talk of a drifter, maybe a serial killer passing through, or some hidden personal connection that investigators just overlooked.
Yeah, people try to make sense of the senseless.
Yeah, try to come up with an explanation.
Exactly.
So then, decades later, in the early 2000s, there's a little bit of renewed hope.
Mm-hmm.
The Orange County Sheriff's Office, which now has jurisdiction over the area where the bodies were found, decides to reopen the case.
Okay.
And this was largely driven by advancements in forensic science, right?
Yeah, that was the main reason.
Suddenly, all this evidence that was collected back in 1971, you know, the rope, Patricia's clothing,
mm-hmm.
could be re-examined using techniques like DNA analysis.
Exactly. And it offered the potential to uncover clues that were just impossible to see back in 71.
Yep. It was like a second chance
right.
at finding answers. And that hope wasn't completely unfounded because in recent years, a suspect has emerged.
Oh, okay.
An elderly man with ties to Durham back in 1971. Now, his name hasn't been publicly released, which, you know, you have to wonder, what does that tell us?
Yeah, it suggests that maybe they have a person of interest, but not enough evidence to make an arrest.
Right.
Or there could be investigative reasons to keep that information quiet.
Yeah, and there have been reports that investigators have been looking into this man's past
mm-hmm.
to see if he has a history of violent behavior. And, you know, significantly, in 2018, there was an article in the Raleigh News and Observer saying that authorities were closer than ever to solving the case.
Really?
And they specifically mentioned DNA evidence. But that was 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And still no arrest has been made.
Mm.
So what does that tell us?
Yeah.
I mean, is it possible that even with DNA evidence, it's still not enough?
Well, it's possible, right? I mean, building a solid case, even with promising leads, can take years.
Yeah.
You know, the DNA evidence needs to be carefully analyzed and definitively linked to the crime.
Right.
And then connected to a living individual who can be prosecuted.
Yeah, you can't just have the DNA. You have to have a person to attach it to.
Exactly. And then on top of that, you can have legal challenges, evidentiary hurdles to overcome. And, you know, there's always a chance that the suspect might not even be alive anymore.
It's so frustrating.
It is.
So here we are, March 15th, 2025. The Valentine's Day murders are still unsolved.
Still unsolved.
It just leaves you with so many questions.
Yeah.
You know, is it the DNA evidence or are there these legal complexities that are preventing an arrest or did the suspect die and take the truth with him?
I mean, those are the heartbreaking realities of cold cases.
Yeah.
Time can be a real obstacle.
Right.
You know, evidence can deteriorate. Witnesses can disappear, their memories can fade.
Yeah.
And even with all the advances in technology, sometimes those final pieces of the puzzle just remain out of reach.
I mean, there's no doubt that this case, the Valentine's Day murders, has left a huge scar on North Carolina.
Absolutely.
It's more than just a true crime story. It's a significant, if incredibly tragic, part of the state's history.
And I think for the families of Patricia Mann and Jesse McBain, that lack of closure has to be unimaginable.
I can't even imagine.
This constant pain just highlights the human cost of these unsolved crimes.
It's heartbreaking. And everyone who knew Patricia and Jesse, their friends, their classmates, they remember them as these vibrant young people with so much potential.
Yeah.
It's just so sad to think about the futures that were stolen from them.
It is. And, you know, that wooded area where their bodies were found has become this unofficial memorial.
Yeah.
A place for quiet reflection.
A place to remember them.
Exactly.
You know, this case really makes you think about those bigger questions.
Yeah.
The fact that there are so many unsolved murders out there. The fact that the pursuit of justice can go on for decades.
Right.
And what it truly means to remember the victims. You know, not just the details of their death, but who they were as people.
It forces us to confront the limitations of our justice system, the lasting effects that violence has on communities, and how crucial it is that we don't forget the victims, even as time passes.
It's so important. And so as we wrap up this deep dive into the Valentine's Day murders here for Next Chapter News, let's take a minute to just think about all the things we've discussed. This young couple, so full of life and promised their lives cut short in this horrific act, this mystery that has lingered for over 5 decades. And then this recent glimmer of hope with the DNA evidence, but still no resolution.
Yeah. And all those questions remain. Who was responsible? Why did they do it? Will Patricia and Jesse ever get the justice they deserve?
And it really makes you wonder, what does it say about us as a society that a crime this brutal can go unsolved for so long?
Right. Or how does the passage of time change our understanding of what justice even means in these cases?
It's heavy stuff, but I think it's important to think about it.
I agree. It's important to keep searching for answers, to remember the victims, and to acknowledge just how complex these cases are.
This has been a deep dive into the Valentine's Day murders for Next Chapter News.
Yes.
Part of our ongoing true crime series, you can find more in-depth explorations of these cases at nextchapternews.com.
That's right.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.